another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of The Final Score. This is Final Score, episode 24, the video game podcast for the rest of us. My name is Scott Johnson. That weird dude over there is Brian Dunaway. Hey, Brian.
Hi.
How's it going?
It's going good. You've
been putting floor in all day. I feel bad for you.
Yeah, it's like a really bad game of Tetris. It's like it's that snap-in floor.
Yeah, it's like a laminate or whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe Nicole over there can help us because her husband does stuff like this. So, Nicole Spagnolo, welcome back as well.
Thank you. Yeah, Mark's done a number of floor jobs.
He has, hasn't he?
Yes.
I'm really bad at this crap. So, if you asked me to do it, you would be asking the wrong human being.
It's all about the tools.
Is it?
Yeah.
Isn't it also... But isn't it, like Brian just said, it's like
Mark
a game...
Mark is a tool.
Brian says it's like... like Tetris. Yeah, like a bad game of Tetris. So what tools are the right tools, Nicole, if you had to do a floor?
Well, you have, you know, the tapper, and then you have a little pry bar thing and miter saw.
I have both of those. Yeah.
You have all, yeah. Really?
Yeah, are you cutting?
No, I think Brian literally meant it's a bad game of Tetris because every time he gets a whole line in, it disappears and everything drops to the next level. Yeah. I think that's what it means. How's that music go?
What happens is I get to the very end and I realize, crap, that one piece is all still warped up. And I have to pull the whole thing out.
And you're thinking, oh, I hope I get a long one.
Oh, the thing is, you need to make sure your subfloor is level too. So if you're going against an uneven floor, then you're kind of fighting an uphill battle.
Oh,
why
gosh.
Are we talking
it's
about
like
this?
It's like Yankee Workshop in here. I love it. All right. Well, we won't talk about this. Instead, we'll talk about the video games. That's what this show is all about. And this is usually what we play.
Valkyrie needs food badly.
I need food.
Video game news. So originally this week, if you were watching or paying any attention to the PC gaming world, you noticed that GOG.com or Good Old Games, and we bring them up all the time talking about these guys, that they had closed down the website. Like suddenly out of the blue, they had this message that said, "Dear GOG users." Do they say it that way or just GOG?
Dear GOG.
Hey, GOG user. We have recently had to give serious thought to whether we could really keep GOG.com going the way it is. We've debated on this for quite some time, and unfortunately, we have decided that GOG.com simply cannot remain in its current form. We're very grateful for all the support. Blah, blah, blah. Stay tuned. This page will follow us on Twitter. Blah, blah, blah.
They did multiple updates, too.
They did. And everybody thought, oh, crap, there's some kind of run-in with DRM, or there's some problem with... you know, rights to the content. And that's what I thought. Like after our conversation last week about who owned your games, it started making me worry about these guys. And so when I saw this, crap, it's totally bit the dust. Turns out, total publicity
stunt. It was a site redesign.
Yeah.
And I was like, just found out about this site. I can't believe they're turning it off.
But don't you think mission accomplished? Because they probably just wanted a whole bunch of exposure for this and they got it.
Totally.
Yeah. But you know what? It really is. It's the same thing that made me think. It's like, you know what? Now I'm scared of digital media again because that could really happen. You just remind me that really is a possibility.
Ooh, I hadn't thought of that, Brian. You're totally right. Like they showed in a jokey way that the stuff you own, well, they're DRM free though, right? Isn't their stuff DRM free? I think that's the deal with GOG. But still, what if Steam all of a sudden tomorrow, Gabe Newell goes, you know what? I kind of had it with the video games. We're done. Steam's off, you know. See,
turn it off.
I mean, who could stop them from doing that?
Close the valve.
That's a terrible, terrible, terrible joke. But still, what if they did? Could anyone stop them? Could some court step in? Could President Obama stand at the White House North Lawn and say, "This cannot stand"? You know,
give them their video games.
We would storm it. We'd all get in the nerd bus and we would travel down there and kick some hay.
Well, a lot of people were mad. They didn't feel like this was
It annoyed me.
Yeah, it annoyed me as well. So you have to question, was all of that extra PR good? You know, they always say there's no such thing as bad PR. I don't know if I believe in that. I think sometimes
I don't believe that there
is such a thing. But I know there are a lot of people that are like, oh, whoa, where'd this site come from? My friend Liam, he's like, I didn't even know this existed. and, you know, was making this huge deal about it yesterday. So, you know, maybe it did its job and we're just jaded and we don't like April Fools in other parts of the year.
And that's the point. Yeah. It's in April. And, you know, does this affect your trust with this company now? I mean, you give them money, you give them your credit card information. I mean, if they're kind of putting this doubt in your mind that they're going to be trustworthy to you, I mean, are those the type of sites you want to support?
No.
I don't know.
Exactly. I mean, if I walked into Walmart and they said, turn around, man, we're shutting down, Walmart. And we're shutting down. Turn around. There's no sense even coming in here. No, just kidding. Come on in.
Would they make the old person do that? Like the little door greeter?
Yeah.
Welcome to Walmart.
Get out of here. If they did that for a whole day, I'd be like, I don't guess I'm going to shop at Walmart anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. So anyway, weird move. And they apologize. They actually did a little apology, which is kind of funny. It says, we apologize to everyone for the whole situation and closing GOG.com. We do understand the timing for takedown the site caused confusion, and many of our users didn't manage to download all their games. Unfortunately, we had to close the service due to business. So they actually went further to make it a bigger, bigger joke. And then eventually they relaunched it and said, nah, we're still here. And it's a nice new redesign. I'll give them that.
Yeah.
But whatever, man. Mm-hmm. Weird. Mm-hmm. Weird idea.
That was weird.
Also in the news this week, some of the cast of the new Resident Evil movie tried to read lines from the original Resident Evil game.
Yes.
And I have some of that captured. Do you want to hear these?
Yes.
I do.
It's pretty funny. Check this out.
Something's wrong with this house.
Now, this is the real Jill and Barry, first of all. Okay, so this is them first. They'll play the clip from the game, and then the characters from the movie try to do them.
Whoa! This hall is dangerous.
Wow! This hall is dangerous.
Oh! This hall is dangerous.
Wow! This hall is dangerous.
All right, kind of goes on like that.
Like, that is weird, man.
I hope this is not Chris's blood and you're the master of unlocking and all that kind of famous stuff.
So that sounded like the first one was Mila Jovovich.
Yep.
I don't know who the second one was, but then the blonde girl, that's her partner.
Allie Larder. The second one's a black dude, but I don't know what his role is in the movie. He looks really familiar to me, like he's been in a bunch of TV stuff.
Let's look it up.
That movie's not really on my radar much. Like, I don't care that much.
We have to watch it for Movielicious next time.
Oh, you do? That's on your list?
That's on our list.
I should have a segment called Let's Look It Up.
I heard you. Let's look it up. Smack talk.
Smack talk.
So can you tell me, Nicole, can you tell me today you had no Patrick in Movielicious? What was that like?
Oh, it was weird. Well, it's the second time we've had to do that, but we've always brought in Mark. To kind of, because they kind of look a little bit alike, right?
Yeah. So. Mark's a nice guy. He's dark, Mediterranean looking. Sure, I get that.
So Terpster and I did the show. It was fun, but we miss Patrick because he's always there to kind of, you know, crap all over everything. So.
I know Mark's secret. I know Mark's secret though. Mark's secret is he's really from Southern Estevez, New Mexico. Grew up in Mexico City. Crossed a river. He's a Mexican. I mean, let's all admit it. We all know it. I'm just kidding.
Would we fuck on?
He's not a Mexican.
Actually, someone in Mexico that created our website in that.
He's an Italian. Oh, I brought up John Funk, by the way, on the Creep. We talked about his his leech strategies. That
we
uses.
Totally went off topic here. I'm so sorry.
No, we can go off all you want. So Resident Evil, blah, blah, blah. Brian, who's in that movie? Did you look it up?
I'm looking at you're talking about the most current one.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
The most current Resident Evil has that dude from Prison Break, Wentworth Miller.
Oh, okay. He plays Chris Redfield, right?
Yeah, plays Chris Redfield. That's right. Mm. And Allie Larder is the blonde-headed girl. And, of course, Mila is Alice. The first pseudo person who's not a white folk is Boris Kodjo.
What? Did you just dance around that so you didn't have to say the black dude? Is that what you did?
I hate saying that. That sounds so horrible, dude.
It's not horrible. I'm the white dude. He's the black dude. It's not racist. That's who we are. I mean, you know, I don't know how else to do it. The guy who's not white like me, the one with the better tan. How about that? That's even better. But anyway, he's from what?
10 times better looking than me.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. Brian's a pretty handsome guy. I'm just saying.
That's true. That is true.
I've seen him in person. We will have a link to that weird video of that stuff. So if you guys want to see them doing those lines, knock yourselves out. Okay, first bad news of the week. You ready for this one?
Yes. Very I'm bracing sad. Myself.
Little Big Planet 2 is delayed to early 2011.
That's
yes!
it. I'm going to go take so a nap.
I'm so happy. Why
are you
delayed.
No, Cole, why are you happy? Are you not a fan or is it because
there's too many games coming out in November when this game was supposed to I literally had no idea how I was going to find the time to play it.
That's a very good point. I hadn't thought of that. There are a ton of games coming out. There's already a ton out. Like, you beat Fallout 3, not to jump the gun here, but dude, what the crap? You did it in like a week or something, wasn't it?
No, not at all.
How long did it take? Slash,
week and a half.
What's your slash played in that game?
Well, I don't know. Is there a way to check the time?
Oh, I don't know. I'm just making that up.
It was pretty bad. I mean, I didn't finish all the quest lines either, so we'll talk about that later.
Did you
but
do
yeah,
any?
I like when I get consumed with a game, I like to just devour it. And, you know, I'm foreseeing Little Big Planet 2 along with Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, the DC Universe game.
Oh,
all
yeah.
those are coming
yeah.
out at the same time in November.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm just glad that one of them is being delayed until January.
We're not seeing the usual delays of a lot of games. Like every year you always say, okay, well, these three big titles got delayed. And then we hear about another one as we lead up to Christmas that got pushed to whatever. Seems like this year, most everything is on target. So this was the first major sort of fallout. I know Brian, you were looking forward to LBP2.
Yeah. And I'm really ticked that it's going to wait until 11. Sheesh.
I have to say, when I played it, it was really buggy.
Oh, really? Because that's right. You played it at Comic-Con or something, right?
I did. It was at
Well, Comic-Con. I certainly don't want buggy software, but I am... Oh, that'd be fun, like riding a little buggy. But I don't want software that is less than perfect. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm a little disappointed that it is at this stage because I was so excited about it. And this is what I was looking forward to for Christmas. And because that's when I got my last Little Big Planet, and I was going to just, you know, take that week after Christmas that I'm off work and play the crap out of it.
Well, take that.
I'm glad they deleted because so many times we get games now and there's like this huge update on the day it's released. So
yeah,
that whole process I think is a little broken. It seems that it's like, you know what, finish the game.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. There's plenty for us to be playing. I have a feeling I'll be playing Civ 5 till then anyway. So if there's, I have my work cut out for me, but. Like Nicholas is sitting over here playing Halo in the dark with no sound. Hey, buddy, are you sad that Little Big Planet 2 got delayed till next January? Yeah. What do you think about
what?
That?
What? What's that?
That's crap, he says, because that's crap. I agree. That is crap. So very much looking forward to it. Still have to wait until January to find out or something in early 11. We don't know exactly, but there's some speculation that January 11th.
I can't just pick up a game in January or February and say... This is the game. I can't do that. That's a weird time for me to buy a game.
Well, didn't you kind of do that last year, though, with... Well, you never got Mass Effect back then, did you? Mass Effect was an early... I want to say February, was it? Maybe March?
And for some reason, in the first part of the year, I've always get so motivated to do other things that I put my gaming kind of on the back burner during that time. Mm. And if something comes out and I don't get it right away, it'll probably be like March at least before I even think about getting something like this again.
So look forward to our mystery stand-in guest during the month of January while Brian is doing other cool stuff.
Yeah.
Fair enough. I understand.
I'll
that
talk
way
about
too.
The same games over and over.
You know what, though? I'm the same, dude. First of the year is kind of a rough time, so it's a weird time to release it. Blizzard gets away with this. Not too many others do, so we'll see. I think it'll hurt them, is what I'm saying. A little bit.
Yeah. Yes.
Somebody's getting fired.
I can tell you who's not getting fired. A bunch of people that worked on a fan-made Command & Conquer game. It finally got released. It's been talked about forever.
And, 3 years.
3 years, yep. That's a long time for community only. No money, really. No backing. Not even the backing, of course, of any of the founders of Westwood Studios or EA, who currently owns the license, or any of that. This is all fan-made. The best part about this, and the reason I wanted to make sure to bring it up, it is not simply just... an RTS made by fans. It is that, but they've gone that extra mile and done all those cheesy cutscenes that the series is famous for.
Oh,
pretty awesome.
And you just download it, right?
Yeah, I think so. I would just
download
off
it
off the internet.
This is like mod of the year, in my opinion. 3 years to build.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
And there's a video. We'll link it in the show notes. But I'm anxious to see, where is it here? Does it say if this costs?
Oh, I'm on their website right now, and it says download.
Yeah.
You click it, and they give you a bunch of mirror sites.
Yep, that's true. I think it is free because they couldn't charge for this.
Yep.
There's no way they would charge for that. So I'm really excited about this. It's not a mod either, folks. This is like a full-blown, like we made our own game.
It says download the mod.
My connection may start getting slow because I'm downloading it right now.
You're pretty excited. You're a fan, though, of this stuff.
Keep checking out the show.
I'm looking at... That's Brian losing his connection. Anyway, it looks pretty sweet. Go check it out. I think that's awesome. I love when things like this happen. Fan-made stuff for the win. Michael Jackson MMO. Are you guys excited about that?
Why does this need to happen?
Well, it's a little bit different because there's this Entropia universe. It's an MMO with like a real economy and not much else. It's sort of just like this basic structure for kind of an MMO. And then what you do is you build worlds within that. I don't know a lot about that Entropia stuff.
You build another world.
A world within the world, something like that.
Neverworld. What the crap is his name of his ranch?
Oh, Neverland.
Neverland.
I like Neverworld better.
And then see how many kids you can invite over.
We have a link
to... Oh, he's dead. It's too soon.
The link to the article I used, what's creepy about it is the they show a screenshot where you can click into it, and that looks like if you held a camera over the coffin or something. That's the picture they took. Do you know what I'm saying? It's just creepy and weird. This is all too soon, dude.
Too soon.
It is creepy. Well, and it's funny because it says, you know, it has a link to the press release. I'm like, how did I not see this? Like, oh, wait, there's no mention of the word game anywhere.
Nope. No. So real quick. Favorite Michael Jackson song. Let's do this on this show. Brian, favorite song.
Well, Beat It.
Beat It? Really? Well, that's
just
okay.
Just beat it.
Nicole, do you have a favorite?
It's a hard one. It's a toss-up between Thriller and True Criminal.
Those are both. You're right about both those. I'm going to go with... I'm going to cheat. I'm going to say his best... Jackson 5 song was that ABC 1 2 3 something whatever. I like that a lot, and then I think Thriller is awesome. That song,
I love his early disco stuff too.
Yeah, that stuff was
Billie
pretty
Jean.
Good. Billie Jean was all right. That was the Beat It album or whatever. Was it Thriller?
I don't know. That was before that. It was.
Well, they were all on the Thriller album, right?
Oh my gosh,
Beat It.
Why are we talking about Michael
Jackson?
Oh my
hell, yeah. What is it? It's like a Film Sack episode with a movie we hate. So forget about that. I'm not talking about that anymore. Let's talk about Steve Wiebe is now the king of Kong again. So if you've been following,
I love Wiebe.
Oh, Wiebe's so, dude, he's so nice. And then what's his name? Michael, what's his name? Mitchell? Billy Mitchell. Such a kind of a.
Billy Mitchell. The picture they put up, Joey Stick, it just makes him look such a jerk.
He seems like a jerk. Yeah.
I'm going to pat you into the dirt, Wiebe.
And the other, the thing with that movie, which I loved, I thought it was a great documentary. I can't tell how much of that is the filmmakers making Mitchell seem like a jerk and how much of it really is him being a jerk. But
did you watch the extras of the DVD?
No.
Cause I think they had like an interview to kind of talk about that.
They talked about how he was portrayed or whatever.
How he's portrayed.
What did he say about that?
Like they had like character witnesses for him that he's really a nice guy.
That he has the best mullet on the planet. He truly does.
The best Thai collection.
What's the name of his hot sauce? I'm trying to read that.
I don't know. This is.
I hear it's really good. Vicky's? Ricky's.
Like Ricky's.
Yeah. I hear it's really good.
Yeah.
Like, I do too. I think he just pumps his blood straight into it.
This is the problem with the guy. Every time I see a picture of him, he's sitting next to a bottle of his own blood or whatever. He's always like pitching the stuff. He's always pitching the hot sauce. It's like, oh, an opportunity. I only play King of Kong or freaking Donkey Kong. I can't think Donkey Kong anymore. Just so I can hawk my hot sauce is what it feels like.
Why not?
I don't know. Whatever.
What I want to know is how many more points can they squeeze out of this game?
Well,
every time I think, oh, they've reached the top.
Yeah.
You know, you get.
Well, here's how it worked out. Billy Mitchell, he was the certified video game player of the 20th century, has lost his Donkey Kong world record to longtime rival Steve Wiebe. Wiebe nudged Billy's July 31st record of 1,062,800 with his masterful 1,064,500 points. So beat him by 20,000 points.
Mm-hmm.
Achieved on August 20th and confirmed today. So Twin Galaxy says it's for real. A guy named Hank Chen briefly enjoyed the limelight, falling into third all in one time on the all-time leaderboard. So there's your top three. I love that this stuff still happens, that people still care, that they're still tracking it.
How much time do you think they've invested in doing this?
Oh, my gosh.
All of them.
All of the time. I think you're right. You know, I don't know. It's just funny because the Wiebe guy seems like such a, again, it could be just the way the movie was pointed, but just like this normal family dude.
Yeah.
Doing his thing, whatever. You'd never pick him out of a crowd. Billy Mitchell walks in the room. You're like, if you don't know who he is, you're like, who is that guy with the mullet and that tie? And if you know him, you're
who's
like,
that guy still living in the 80s? Yeah.
Oh, my. Big time.
Well, that kind of sounds sad, though.
A little bit. But there you go. Steve Wiebe
Billy
back on
Wiebe.
Top. Still on top. Still the man. Knocking him dead. Oop. And that's it for news that's not quick list. There's not a lot going on this week. It's kind of a.
But you think you didn't mention it, which I'm surprised, is the announcement that 38 Studios is moving to Providence, Rhode Island. It's official.
Yeah, but I've known about that for ages.
It's you like, knew about it, but it just announced.
Right. I don't mean to, I'm not trying to drop names or anything. I'm just saying that it was always like this thing that sort of seemed like it was always going to happen. So when the article went up that it was for real, I just kind of went, oh, well, why has that not been for real for the last, forever? I mean, Kurt's been in interviews saying, yeah, we're moving. So that's
yeah, but the big thing about it.
Yeah, tell me why it's important.
I see what you're saying.
Because studios 38 studios can get 64 million of a total 75 million from the state of Rhode Island through only employing 250 by December 2011. So you're talking about bringing a lot of gaming jobs to that area. So that's big news.
It's big news for Rhode Island. It sucks for wherever they're leaving. I forgot the name already.
Yeah, but this is a great opportunity for 38 Studios and a great opportunity for game developers. I mean, they can move to Rhode Island.
I like to give Kurt crap because he's a major conservative and he's hugely fiscally conservative and all that kind of stuff. I love that they're moving to a whole different state to get free money from the state. I love that. I think that's awesome.
It shows you what Rhode Island is doing, though. They're interested in this kind of stuff. They believe that gaming development is a viable industry and that it's something worth investing into, and that's great.
Yeah,
I mean, states are fighting over companies like this.
Well, I'm just saying, don't get me wrong, I love Kurt, he's the man, and this is very exciting for all of them. That's a lot of money for a state to fork out for a
that's what I was thinking
for
too.
A video game studio.
I mean, it's jobs. I mean, think about those over time, what those jobs will mean to that area. So, I mean, that's great.
Yeah, it's good. I can't wait to see what they're finally see their game.
Me
too.
But they've got two in the works, but I'm really excited to see either one. Bring it. And, Kurt agreed. He tentatively agreed to be on the show and do an interview, but I have to wait for his PR people to arrange it.
Oh, my goodness.
So that may take a while. all right. Quick list. Here's some quick news, just to get it out of the way. Left 4 Dead comic. Week 2 of the Sacrifice.
Week 2 of the Sacrifice.
What do you think of this thing? You like it?
I love it.
I like it. Have you seen it? Yeah, it's great because it ties in the story of what happens to Bill. Because they're getting ready. They're fixing to. That's what I said. That I'm fixing to. They're getting ready to release the new DLC. And surprise, surprise, Bill dies in this. And so they've got this four-week...
Yeah, he's the old guy. The old Vietnam vet.
I'm gonna pretend like you didn't ask that. And there's 4 weeks. So smack four weeks of comics that come out every Tuesday that lead up to the DLC release, which is gonna be free for the for the PC and the Mac. That's right. Simultaneous launch of the Left 4 Dead to
did you say Max, so. Did you say simultaneous?
Simultaneous.
I like
simultaneous.
That.
Simultaneously. And you can't get it also on the Xbox 360, but it's going to cost you $750.
Oh, All right.
Add those points up, baby.
They always do. They always have to pay.
Did you just spoil that for anyone?
Did what? Spoil it?
I don't know.
Did you just spoil that whole thing for people?
Oh, Brian? No. The bill thing, I think, has been common knowledge from the game's perspective for a while, hasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, there's trailers out there that shows DLC, and it says it shows Bill dying, and they kind of like tell the backstory. So, I mean, yeah, this is nothing.
It was like a big kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But one great big thing that they're doing is they're bringing the No Mercy campaigns to Left 4 Dead 2, which is like one of my favorite campaigns from Left 4 Dead 1. So this huge thing is happening for Left 4 Dead 1 coming up here.
It's great to see them supporting this so strongly, especially for a game that was criticized for coming out too soon.
So they've made up for that by supporting the first one.
They've always been good for this stuff. It's too bad they have to charge for the 360 bit, but they do that because that's the Microsoft system. They have to kind of fit within the way it works,
absolutely,
which they hate, but whatever. Free for PC
and
users.
That's all the whole reason why, you know, poor old, you know, Team Fortress 2 couldn't hang. It's all Microsoft's fault.
Yep, always blame Microsoft. Reach Racer minigame found in Halo Reach. I didn't see this when I played it, of course, but there is reports of a minigame where you race around on warthogs. And
have you watched the video?
I have not. Have you watched the video?
I have indeed watched the video. You have to stand at two capture points, and it automatically brings you to a couple of warthogs, and you can race. So it's pretty neat.
That's pretty cool. I like that kind of thing.
Found it pretty fast.
You say warthog.
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 So what's cool about this, I really like these guys at Achievement Hunter.
Timon!
They find all kinds of, that's what, a special power in that MMO? I don't know what that would be.
Yeah.
Grabbing your crotch.
Yeah. Timon and Pumbaa.
Plus two to grab your crotch. Accessing this thing is simple, like Brian said, and these guys at Achievement Hunters find the craziest things in Halo. They're the ones that found the Master Chief reference, and they found this, so... I recommend those.
Have you guys found the race game Easter egg that we talked about a few weeks ago?
Which one? Which race game?
You know, where it was an old game, 10 years old, and they finally found Easter.
Oh, yeah.
Wave Race. I don't think that was them.
Yeah.
No. Okay. I think that was actually the company released that and said, geez, I think that's what they had done. They said, you still haven't found it? Oh, yeah, by the way, there's an Easter egg in there.
Yeah, 10 years later. Here you go, buddy. Ridiculous. Anyway, we'll have a link to that, so you'll have all the details you need to go and have your Halo Reach Racer fun time. A couple last tiny stories. Sony attempting to bar counterfeit PS3 controllers after the 3.5 firmware update. Not that surprising.
Crap.
I used to have some fake ones that I got in China for the PS2, and they always worked fine. Yeah. But they were total knockoffs. I mean, they looked really good, but I knew where they came from, and I paid like $1 for them. They were not the real deal. And back then, of course, there's no way to really kind of patch that sort of thing out. But that's what they're doing here. So if you've got
already reports on their message boards that Mad Cats have ceased to operate. I had a number of Mad Cats controllers back in the day.
You're kidding? That's not good because that's licensed stuff.
It is.
Oh, Sony. Stop meddling with things you don't understand.
And it was a big update too.
It won't take any time.
Say what, Brian?
It won't take any time. Somebody will figure out some way to add an extra little chip or something in there that'll counteract it. So get over it.
Yeah, but here's the problem.
It's a war that you can't win.
But here's the problem. If you go, well, I agree. Sony should just get out of the war because they're not going to win it. But what I'm saying is, like, if Mom and Joe, you know, Wilson go to the store, let's get Junior a video game machine. Well, why? Goodness, this is very expensive, honey. Well, it sure is, dear, but we can buy these cheap third-party controllers and offset the cost. Well, now they're not working. That's all I'm saying. I think that's bad. Yeah. It's bad for consumers. So Sony doesn't realize, perhaps, that they're trickling down the problem, but they kind of are with this. If it's going to affect licensed stuff, then get out of there. Lastly, Nintendo Power celebrates 25 years of the NES with one of the coolest issues ever.
I had to put this in to the show notes because I just got my Nintendo Power today and I got the second cover.
Where is mine?
So my PlayStation, my Xbox, and my Nintendo all came in the same day, and this one is the coolest.
Dang it.
The second cover shows all of the classic characters. So there's Excitebike, there's Zelda, There's the mage, the black mage from Final Fantasy. What are some of these other ones?
Oh, yeah. There's Battletoads on there.
It's just awesome. I love it.
Original Samus stuff, Kirby, everybody.
It also came with a really...
I just realized I didn't check my mail today.
Oh, you didn't check it? You probably have it.
Probably do.
It also came with a really cool Mario poster that says, "Thank you, Mario, but our princess is in another castle." And then on the back of it, it has the entire first level of Super Mario Brothers. So world one of one.
Oh, that's so pretty cool.
It's a really good issue. And there's two covers that you could get. One with Mario, with the squirrel Mario.
Raccoon Mario. Squirrel Mario.
And then one I like, and thankfully the one I got, is the one with all of the different characters celebrating 25 years.
Yeah, so that's cool. This would be fun to have all these issues. Yep. I'll try to get my hands on these. I don't actually have a subscription. So, Brian,
did
you get it?
Did you go get your mail?
Wasn't out there.
Nice. Well, at least you tried.
Crap.
Yeah. Nice work, dude. Okay. Time for this. Dun, dun, dun. Deal! While Brian catches his breath, we'll give you a couple of good deals for the week. Fallout 2 on goodoldgames.com, $5.99. That's a
But I don't know if I'd
deal.
Buy it, jerks.
Jerks? Yeah, you jokey jerks.
Yeah, but if you never... But I know Nicole like is one of those completionists, so I mean, she's already played Fallout 3, so now she needs to go back and get 2.
Oh.
They're only 10 years... Well, no, about 12 years old, 13 years old. It's not too bad.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I don't want to play that old of a game.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, well, excuse us, Miss Modern.
Fallout
2. No, New Vegas is coming out soon. I'm ready for that one.
Then that's what you were doing, right? You were pounding out that so you could play. Okay, I got it.
Yep.
I'm going to play that, too. And I'm not even going to touch Fallout 2 because I know I won't finish it. Not with Civ Rev and that computer over there. There's no way. I love that game. Oh, I can't wait
to
talk about this.
$5.99.
$5.99. That's not bad. Fallout 2 is a good game. Check it out. Good time. Serious Sam HD Gold, 75% off. Only $10 on Steam.
You got to get it because you got to play me against it because I love it.
I have that game. Let's play. Let's do it. Co-op right now.
The co-op is so much fun.
Yeah. You have it too?
Do you really?
Yeah, we got the 4-pack, right?
Yeah, you gave me
a copy. Sure did, didn't we?
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, I forgot.
Yeah, that's what we did. But we never played it together like a bunch of dummies.
No, we didn't.
It's like, let's get this 4-pack so we can do co-op, and we didn't even touch it. So we need to do that because it's really fun. I got in there the other night. You know, if you want to ever see Nicholas laugh his little head off, just have one of those dudes running with the bombs and screaming. That's all it takes.
Yeah.
Those guys are cool. Those guys are classic. Some of my favorite enemies ever. Anyway.
Yeah. You know they're coming too. It's like, where are they at? Where are they at?
Totally. PS3 Move for $99 with $25 Kmart PS3 gaming coupon. This is about the only good deal I've seen on the Move since it came out. Mm-hmm. You know, you'd think we would be talking about this device a little more on the show.
And I meant to pick this up this week, but I did not do it yet.
I don't know, man. I just not...
Because there's a hole in the floor.
There's a hole in the roof. The problem I have is I'm not sold on it yet. Like, nobody's showing me anything after launch where I'm going, ooh, gotta get it. It's just like, well, okay, more sports stuff, okay.
Did you see, the only thing I've seen referenced is a Penny Arcade comic that was done talking about the game iPet.
Oh, and, yeah, that was pretty funny.
Did you see that one?
Yeah, that was good.
It's very, very funny.
Yeah, it was
so
pretty funny.
That's it.
Yeah, but it's just like, there's just not much being said.
I didn't see the comic. What was it about? Stop glossing over it.
It was about iPet, Brian. Penny-arcade.com.
What was the joke?
They're making fun saying that the iPad game was just for girls and young girls and you know, women. And then they were like,
did they say bad words?
No. They were making fun. They were, you know, putting the game down. Yeah. But then they themselves were like, oh, but before we stop, we have to put, you know, a cute little jacket on my character.
Yeah. So, you should go read it, Brian.
I'm assuming that's what iPad is just these little, you know.
It's a little it's a little furry dude that you play with and put to sleep and comb his hair and feed him stuff.
Kind of like Mark.
Yeah, a little bit like Mark. That's true.
So they were making fun dude. That it was a early type game, but they were really into it.
Wouldn't you be great if you could control Mark with a snow cone shaped controller?
You can.
Look at the fidelity on this. I'm making him jump off the house. This is amazing. Anyway, PS3 move.
For $99. They should have named it that.
Yeah. Go check it out, dude. Kmart, once again, rocking the joint. With some sweet deals. These guys are amazing. Anyway, that is your Done Deals. Always here to save you some money and also here to tell you what we've been playing.
Hey, what are you playing?
Mario laughs, but we have real stuff to play. Scott has been playing the hell out of Civilization 5. Civ 5 owns me. That game is really, really great. It is everything ever. Yeah, I'm gonna have to punch you once again. It is as good as everybody's been claiming. I agree with the best review I've read is the PC Gamer review, and that thing is dead on about everything about that game. It's crack. It's digital crack. It's just so much fun. I'm completely addicted. You're avoiding
it? It's almost guaranteed 6 hours. I mean, if you start that game, you're going to be on there for 6 hours. Almost guaranteed.
And that's if you do like one of the sped up versions of the game. If you're doing like a full blown, like long as it can be type one, you might be playing for weeks through that campaign. It's
that kind of time. So I'm just going to probably play it in a couple years, kind of like what I did with Fallout 3.
I was going to say, you've got time for that Fallout 3. I'm telling you, Nicole, it's so good. It's so good. In every possible way. I just love it. Can't wait to keep playing it. And I finished Halo Reach for Halo. Nick is over there right now playing it in... He's over there playing it in single player.
Hard mode?
I don't know. Were you playing hard mode or normal, bud? Oh, he's doing Forge. He's dorking around in Forge.
Oh.
Silent Forge.
Did it bring tear to your eye?
Just a little bit.
I hear that.
The ending's pretty... It was pretty intense. It was like... I don't want to give anything away. I think people should play it, but it was really kind of cool, that very ending.
Like you know it's going to happen, but you're like, I'm going to fight it.
Yeah. I mean, you know what's going to happen because you know what happens to Reach. If you played Halo 1, you know what happens to your home planet and all that stuff makes sense. But it's probably their best campaign that they've ever done. So when you guys have time and get around to it, you should play that game. Nicole, you should play it. You're done with Fallout 3. You should play it.
Let's just have Brian and I'll finish my Fallout.
It's so hard to get her to agree to anything. You should really play it.
There's a 3-year-old game I'd rather play today. Fallout's awesome. I wish I had played it. I just never did.
But Brian agrees with Scott's answer.
Nicole, I'm
doing the expansions now.
The DLC and stuff.
Yeah.
Brian, you should play it. I know you don't have Reach yet, but when you get it, I think you'll like it. It's pretty neat.
I know I'll like it.
Yeah, it's pretty well done. Yeah. I think it's the best Halo game they've ever made.
It shall be my reward for patching the floor.
Mm. So, Brian, you paid the Civ 5 demo, and you still haven't caved and bought the full game. Why is that?
Because I simply just don't have the time because I can already tell it is super addicting. I played through the demo completely 2 times, and it was each time was a different experience. The first time I played, I tried to play very balanced and the game lasted a very long time. The next time I said, you know what? I really got sick. What's that?
What's a very
4 hours.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I mean, even the demo you can play. It's not based on number of hours you play. It's based on how far you get into the tech tree and how far you develop and that type of thing. And it just all of a sudden says, "You're out of time. Get out of here."
Oh,
and so I played it a second time and only played for a few hours because I decided instead of being a well balanced type of place, because whenever I was well balanced, Rome grew to huge size and were right next to me, and they kept saying, "Get away from us! Get away! Get away!"
Yeah.
And so this time I said, "You know what? I'm going to squish Rome right away." So I developed as much military stuff. I didn't do any animal husbandry research. I just went straight into military, you know, copper, everything, just straight military stuff.
Yeah.
And I just progressed super fast. So this Civ 5 seems to favor being very aggressive.
It definitely
and not being conservative at all.
Yeah, there's definitely a renewed, not focus, I would say, but an enhanced push on military, which I wasn't sure I was going to like, because I also like to play that game in a way that's more economic based or more based on trade or whatever, technology and science. But you know what? What they have done with military is really fun and addicting. And so now it's kind of my preferred way to, you know, I always make sure I got a pretty strong army going no matter what I'm doing. And it's
you,
fun.
Yeah, you have to, because if you don't, they'll run all over you.
Yeah, tear you up, dude.
Tear you up. You got to do it. But I do. I like the focus on this one as opposed to Civ 4 that was kind of more, it was less focused on the military and more about, you know, making policy and doing other. You could build a military, but you didn't get rewarded like you do in this one. And this one is, you really get rewarded for being the first person to progress militarily and to just stomp everybody's butt.
Yeah, and if you want to, the Americans are the best for that. They're like, they get some sweet bonuses toward military, which is also a little sad. Anyway, so Nicole, oh no, what else you got? StarCraft 2, can't forget about that. Mm-hmm. You and your...
And Left 4 Dead 2.
What'd you say? What?
We all played on Monday.
Oh yeah, we did. We all did. All of us. That's right.
That was
yes, we did.
Brian, I got to talk about Brian's, his sweet... I talked to this on the creep a little bit, but his freaking Thors, dude. Like, seriously, I don't know how you made so many. I've never seen that many Thors in a row climbing up a hill to come to kill me. I didn't know what to do.
I'm coming to get you with my Thors.
I spent all my money on carriers and other late game stuff way across the other side of the map, and here comes Brian waltzing in with these, you know, these mechs. I had no...
I had no air force at all.
Yeah.
I was all ground force, so yeah.
Well, it threw me off. I mean, your strategy worked, but that was a lot of fun playing and really enjoy that stuff. We got to do that more.
I have to say that when we were mixing up the teams, the team that always won had John Funk on it.
Dude, yeah.
John Funk.
He wasn't even playing the race that he normally plays and Whitwall.
It was like he was playing with his left hand.
Yeah. Drinking and
he had a patch on one eye. He's using the Zerg. He never plays the Zerg. Yeah, I hate people that are naturally good at that game. But
awesome.
Lots of fun, man. Just so much fun, that game. Love it. And you played Left 4 Dead 2 on Monday, but I missed the Tuesday thing. And so did you. None of the three of us were there.
I missed it. I'm sorry.
I played for about an hour on Team Fortress 2.
Oh, you did? Oh, you did get to play. Okay.
Play that game because it's so much fun.
Yeah, we need to play. We're playing Tuesday, right? Right? Right?
Every Tuesday, right. 9 o'clock.
Play Tuesday.
PM Eastern Standard Time.
I'm in like Flynn.
The time thing usually falls right around dinner time. So.
Oh yeah, and
I know.
Mark's deep needs must be satisfied. Because isn't that meatball Tuesday?
Have kids. You guys could eat at any time. You don't have kids. You could just eat 9 o'clock at night.
Cereal all day. Right?
I still think they should. Yeah. I think little cute little girl sitting on Mark's knee while he's playing StarCraft. How cute. He's so cute. Anyway, so Nicole, you've been all about Fallout 3. How's all that going for you?
Yeah. Since we last talked, I beat it and wanted to continue more. And Josh on Twitter thankfully said, hey, you should get the expansion Broken Steel and you're going to be able to continue on and go back to all of the campaigns that you missed. I originally was going to buy the Fallout 3 Game of the Year edition, but after doing my research, apparently that version for the PSP freezes up constantly for the PSP folks.
PSP? So, you're playing this on the PSP?
PS3.
Sorry. Oh, okay. Sorry. Yeah. PS3.
Wow.
So instead of, you know, spending $30, $40, $50, depending on when I would have bought it, for Game of the Year, I just decided, you know, maybe I'll just test out an expansion for $10 and see what happens. And lo and behold, it did lock up on me. Oh, I went the entire game before doing that downloadable content, did not lock up once, downloaded one of them, the Broken Steel one, which I'm loving. I love the fact that I'm continuing the story and doing a lot of different things and exploring areas. Love it. But yeah, lame that Bethesda did not and has not fixed any of those.
Yeah, still hasn't done it. Yeah, it's crazy. And I did the same thing whenever I bought my copy. I was kind of like, I read a lot of stuff about it, and I was like, well, I'm just going to go with the regular edition.
So how's the on the whole, how does Fallout 3 compare to, say, What else have you? I know you like RPGs generally, but I mean, is this like ranked pretty high on your RPG list as far
this
as how much fun you've had?
Now territory for me, wow. in the sense of how into WoW I was. You know, I could easily sit there for 12 hours and play WoW with no problem. This is the similar kind of feeling I got from a game like this. The epicness.
Is it nice? Is it nice to have a beginning and an end though? Like it's. You know, once in a while, I really, as much as I enjoy an MMO with no ending, no real ending, sometimes it's nice to sink my teeth into a game where I know I can get to some point where I can call it good.
Well, and I wanted to push the story along. So I knew if I went down a certain path, you know, it would end the game. So I wanted to do that. I kind of wanted to at least get to an end chapter. I was getting a little impatient. So I had a ton of outstanding quests open when I ended the game. So being able to open it back up with this expansion was really, really nice.
That's cool.
So,
very cool.
But yeah, I love it. It's awesome. And it's going to be a different experience for everyone. I played the game completely good. Karma is good.
That's how I do that. I never can play bad.
Completely good.
Well, which reminds me, I didn't even tell you guys. I started a whole new game in Dragon Age. And I know Nicole hates that game, but I started over, man. That game's, I love that game.
The reason why I wanted
someone
to play good is
because... Someone said send me a copy.
The radio guy, he will announce all of your deeds on the radio station. So if you do a bad deed, which I did do one bad deed, he like calls you a scumbag. I'm like, I don't want that. So I'm like,
what was your bad deed? Did you like poop on a kid or something? What is
No, these ghouls wanted to move into Tenpenny Tower, and I actually accidentally insulted one of the ghouls and he started shooting at me, so I had to kill him. So it wasn't intentional.
So I had to kill him, yo.
Man.
So it was fun.
I also
downloaded. Oh, sorry. What
no,
were you
no, gonna say? I keep going. I got a comment for you about Dragon Age when you're done. Keep going.
Okay. Well, I also downloaded Deathspank, Thongs of Virtue, and I was really looking forward to this. I loved the first Deathspank. I had the impression that this was going to be a continuation of the first Deathspank, but it's not. It's a whole new, like, you don't need the first game in order to download this game, and it's $14.99.
Really?
Which kind of bummed me out, because I had some really cool stuff from the first game, like the unicorn poop that I wanted to use.
Okay.
And you have to start all over. You have to start completely at level one in the new Thongs of Virtue, and it continues the storyline. It's still fun, but I have to say I was kind of bummed out.
What, Brian?
What?
That's good though. Oh. Yeah, I think it's good because Deathspank did okay, but I think this. You think this is bigger as far as sales go? I mean, how did Deathspank 1 sell? I mean, because it sounds like they're like
they came out with the second one really, really fast. And this is a whole, to me, it's not downloadable content for the first one. It is its own game. It's Deathspank 2.
Yeah, shortly. Yeah.
But well, months
after the first one was released.
The games
that's fine by me, yeah.
The games were developed concurrently, though, so they were built at the same time. Oh. They weren't sure what they were going to do there, so it makes sense that, you know, it's weird that it's its own level one to level whatever experience. I didn't know that.
I wish it would have just been a continuation. Like, okay, now your old character's at level 20. Now we're going to raise the cap to 40. And you're going to have a whole new set of quests. But it's not like that at all.
Weird.
Yeah, kind of disappointing. And I've found myself playing Fallout 3 instead.
Yeah, that'd be easy to go back. So I got to tell you just real quick. I think Nicole's... how far did you get in Dragon Age?
I got through the first level where you have to go into the realm.
Testing. Were early. Yeah, that's way early.
And I got through all of that, and then I got out, and then I talked to her. I'm like, this is freaking boring as crap.
I think you know what? I think you got. I think
put me
you
to
hit
sleep.
You hit a part that gets it's a little sleepy there at that initial junction. Like after all that initial stuff, and then it kind of is like
the training or whatever you're doing.
Then it gets just crazy good. Like I play it and I go, man, Nicole would like this game, and then I remember, oh no, she hated this game. What am I saying? I also think the PC version is vastly superior control-wise and a bunch of other things, but it's really, really fun, you know, man.
That's what it was. I did pick it up for the PS3, so maybe if I did play it on the PC, I'm sure it probably would be.
When's your birthday?
April 23rd. Next year.
I actually hear the PS3 version is supposed to be better than the 360 version, which had some serious issues. But just overall, it's just a better experience. It's like, I'm the opposite with like Mass Effect. I prefer that on the console. I have both. And we talked about it on the show before, but I really feel like, I don't know. We'll see.
Well, maybe when Steam has another sale, I'll grab it.
I think you should.
And for you, I will try.
Loved it. Okay. Moving on to, you already said. I didn't realize Deathspank, a thong of virtue, is TOV for short. That's great. Tov. All right. Where the hell are we now? Oh, we're at, this is Brian's time to shine.
Why, that's a very odd mod.
Brian, tell us about the odd mod this week.
Oh, odd mod this week is Dungeon Defense.
Whoa.
Dungeon Defense. Dun, dun, dun. Dungeon Defense is a tower defense action RPG hybrid created entirely within the UDK. You know what that is, don't you?
That's the Unreal Developers Kit, right?
Development Kit. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And it was made in just 4 weeks, supporting up to 4 players. So that's 1 player per week. Great. Dungeon Defense challenges gamers to defend their lair against hundreds of invading enemies by magical defenses. Now, I know Scott is not a big fan of the old tower defense games.
Yeah.
But this is fun because you get to set up everything like a tower defense game. So you kind of got like a setup period. You got like 45 seconds or something, I believe. And then once everything is set up, you can actually run around with your character and shoot them with your little wand. So once you set up your defenses,
say what?
Yeah,
I'm saying the colors are absolutely beautiful.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They use everything. This is great about the Unreal Engine. They use all these great particle effects, and it's just beautiful. The colors are just beautiful. They really did really great, and I cannot believe they did this in 4 weeks. But it was part of when Unreal put out the development kit, they challenged people to do this. And to make a great game, and there were some prizes awarded, and I think this is part of that. But this game is, you can get the demo now, but it officially comes out sometime in November, I believe.
Yeah, it just says November 2010 on Steam.
That's right, and it'll be on Steam, so you can check it out on Steam. There'll be show notes. You can check it out. You can download the demo now. It's a lot of fun. You can watch a video of me also. We'll leave that in links too, of me playing it just for a few minutes. My favorite part of it is the fact that you can play on PC, and later on this is going to be developed for the consoles specifically. I definitely know it's coming for the 360. They state that. And it's a split screen for people can play locally, or you can play on the internet with 3 of your friends.
Nice.
So same thing for the PC.
We can play together.
Yeah.
We can all play co-op on this. So we set up our little dungeon defenses. We set up little towers that, little turrets, and then we can set up gas bombs. And it's just you would not believe that this is as a game that's developed on the same Unreal 3 engine. You just wouldn't believe it.
It's versatile as hell. It's really versatile, this engine. It's really crazy. The other one we tried out was that downloadable demo. It's basically a playable one level of this Wizzle game that was also put together in a really short period of time. I think the same period of time. It's like some kind of contest, right? This like 4 weeks or whatever.
Yeah, it was during that contest time. Yeah.
And that, the particle effects and the physics in that thing, amazing. Totally amazing. So
looks good as anything out there.
Yeah, I feel like we're all like in for some special stuff from the UDK. You know? I
absolutely agree.
I can see why these guys are so excited about it. Anyway, I am very excited.
But that is your odd mod.
Is that the
which
odd
is more
mod?
Really a what's that?
That's a very odd mod. It's actually not that odd. It's very cool. So go check it out. We'll have links to that also in the show notes. And Dungeon Defense. Watch for more of that coming soon. Where are we now? Oh, we're new releases.
Hey, what?
New
releases this week. Dead Rising 2 for the PC, 360, and PS3. Yay! Don't really care.
I do. I've been waiting for this game.
I don't love Dead Rising. I don't like the gameplay.
I'm going to say I'm going to get this on the PC.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
I play all my zombie games on the PC. I had Left 4 Dead for the 360, but I sold it because I liked it better on the PC.
See, to me, this is more of a console game. It's more of a control system for me that I worry about. Like, mouse and keyboard doesn't jive with me for that kind of game, but I don't
really
know.
The only game I really like, what is that? Not Zombie Panic. That's the PC. There's one that I bought. There was a 360 arcade Zombie Apocalypse, maybe?
Maybe.
It's kind of like a shoot 'em up.
Yeah.
Can't remember.
What'd you think of that?
Carry on.
Okay, Lara Croft.
I thought it was pretty cool.
Sorry.
Yeah.
PS3, Lara Croft and the Guardian of Light. Really like the 360 game, so.
I'll find this.
You going to get it?
I've been waiting for it on PS3.
Nicole, you and Mark are going to have so much fun playing that in co-op. Assuming you guys.
Because Deathspank has a co-op now, too, or a better co-op with the second version.
I tried
to get him to play that with me. He's like, oh.
Oh, Guardian of Light. Well, see, at least with the Guardian of Light game, you both really have, like, ton to do. Like, it's not just a little support kind of.
It's not one-sided.
No, okay. Not at all. Cool. It's you need each other to get through that damn game. It's really cool. Well, the way we played co-op was same room because they didn't have the live support and they still don't. Mm. And the 360 version and the PC version are supposedly also launching without the support for multiplayer, which is ridiculous, actually. This game just screams for co-op. That's its whole basis is co-op. And the fact that they don't have it at launch for online is weird to me, but whatever.
But if you don't have somebody playing co-op with you, does the game just kind of take over that character and you play with them?
Oh, no. That's a good question. The way it actually works is you will play as Lara Croft and this other dude with the spear who normally would be like Mark's character. He's not there, but before he leaves you and runs off, he gives you the spear that you need to like climb to higher spots. And essentially, you still have to do everything. You do it all on your own. You just have now a couple of the abilities that he granted to you in the story instead of him being with you the whole time. And it works great.
Can he actually come in and out of the game as needed? So let's say Mark gets bored and says, oh, I'm going to go.
What is this? 20 questions?
You know what?
These are great questions.
No, these are great questions. I've never tried. We never tried that, I guess. We always started a game and ended a game together. So I don't, it's just me and Nick, but I don't know what, if that does live, you know, like you can just drop in or not. I don't know. That'd be cool. That'd be great, actually.
That's how Deathspank works.
Yeah.
So
stupid Deathspank.
Okay. she's like still on the Deathspank.
No, you're not still.
So yeah, whatever. Lara Croft doesn't do that, but you know what does? Deathspank.
Final Fantasy 14 online coming to the PC this week. So that whole thing.
Finally.
Beta's over. Don't really care. Whatever.
Yeah. Hey, whatever. Hey, whatever.
Whatever.
Don't say don't care.
Are you excited about that game, Ryan?
I would like to have it, but I'm not going to have time to get that and play it right now.
I see.
If someone was to, I don't know, gift me a copy or something.
Oh, look at you fishing for gifts on the show.
I'm not going to buy you anything.
That's awesome.
If you gifted it to me, I probably still wouldn't play it. Not right now. It's not that I don't want to.
Yeah.
It's just that there's so much crap right now that I got to play.
I know, including Civ 5, you slacker. Get it. We'll play multiplayer.
Oh, God. That's just eating my life away.
Even the demo. Final Fantasy 14. So look for it now on shelves for the PC. Quantum Theory for the PS3 and 360. Don't know a damn thing about Quantum Theory.
I watched the video.
But if you look to the... Yeah, if you look to the right side, there's a message that says, link for Scott, because I know he doesn't know anything about this game.
Yeah, why? What is this? Well, I'm looking now. I'm clicking here.
It looks really cool, but it looks like the kind of game that has elements of Final Fantasy. In fact, one of the things, it says customers who bought this item also bought Nier. And that is, it's a very epic game, but...
Oh, is that the one with Liam as the talking book?
Yes, as Vice. Yeah. Right. And it reminded me of Nier. It reminds me of a lot. There's actually a character that kind of looks like the Lich King as I was watching the video. So there's some interesting. It looks like a cool game, but it looks like a kind of game that you have to have a ton of time for. And really, it looks complicated. That you're going to have to do a lot of things in this game.
I'll be entirely shocked if this isn't an Unreal Engine game. This looks like Unreal Engine to me.
It's beautiful. I love it.
Yeah. You can always tell an Unreal Engine third person or first person shooter. You notice that? It's really easy to tell.
Yeah.
Not that it's bad. I'm just saying it's like a very distinct look. I also feel that way about not Steam. What am I trying to say? Valve in their Source Engine. Yeah.
Yeah.
Source. It's a shame that a game like this, though, I think is going to fly underneath the radar. It's just going to be.
Yeah, it is.
It's too bad.
So
Hydrophobia for the Xbox Live, part of Game Feast.
Coming. That's right. Game Feast is coming up. If you didn't get enough of Xbox Live Summer, it's time for some Fall Game Feast.
That's a terrible name. Don't you think?
I agree. I think it's a horrible name, but I'm glad they're running some more Xbox Live games, and they're going to be doing it for, like 4 weeks in a row or something. And this Hydrophobia looks very good. I don't know if you watched the trailer on it, but it's a very interesting looking game.
I haven't looked, but I'm also afraid of Hydro, so I have a good phobia of that.
Yeah.
Again, stupid name.
And well, whatever, but anyway, yeah, so the gameplay is involved. The player being able to interact with the environment in realistic water dynamics. So I think it's going to be like a very unique experience.
Borderlands Claptrap's new robot revolution coming to, I think, all platforms, not just PS3 and PC. Isn't it on 360 as well? They're getting there, or did they already get that? Maybe they already have it.
Yeah, it's on 360. In fact, my brother has
It's
on 360.
I forgot to even mention that. I started playing right before Civ 5 came out. I played a whole bunch of Borderlands on the PC for the first time, which I've had for a while. And I decided to just get in there again and decide if I wanted to play that again. And I kind of do.
need to play.
Borderlands is kind of awesome. My complaint about Borderlands, I never have enough ammo. I run out all the time. That's my only complaint.
My complaint about Borderlands is it takes 20 minutes to load up a stupid game.
Oh, well, that can be trouble, too. Oh, and the PC version looks like a console version, just completely PC, hacked together.
It is.
But whatever.
Anyway,
Borderlands.
It's not that long on consoles.
Claptrap's new robot revolution. Be there.
Check it out.
All right, before we move on, I got a winner to our map hook contest that we ran last week. If you remember, I'll just give you a summary. The winner gets his choice from this list. Fallout New Vegas. For any platform, whatever he wants. Dead Rising 2 for any platform. Little Big Planet 2, which is now coming out in January. DC Universe Online for the PS3 or the PC. Fable 3 Collector's Edition for the 360, which again is now yet. Epic Mickey Collection or Collector's Edition for the Wii. Halo Reach Limited Edition on the 360. And PlayStation Move Starter Bundle.
Nice. Dude, these are great.
Plus
great
a bunch
prizes.
Of other stuff. Other stuff too, like some prints. Signed by me and some other cool stuff. All the details are in the link in the show notes to our forum.
Did I win? You lost.
But we love MapHook. I want to thank MapHook.com again for doing that. And this is all they're doing. This is a big giveaway from them. Brian's doing Smack Talk.
Smack Talk.
That website is really cool. And in fact, I think I'm going to use it at BlizzCon.
I'm going to use it at
MapHook?
Yeah, oh yeah.
This past week with Nerdbus, I mean, they have really been pushing us, and they've been pushing this whole thing with Nerdbus, and there's map hooks all over the place for how we're going to do that.
Yeah, and 11 big time map hook event. You watch for it. It's going to be awesome. June 17th, 2011. Tickets on sale. Not yet.
2011. Not yet.
Not quite yet.
Did you announce the winner?
Yes. The winner is Shortcake. That's Shortcake. Cake is spelled K-A-I-K. Another Canadian, I'm told. So the Canadians are rocking it.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Is one lucky lady this week because...
Chat room.
Is she in the chat room?
Yep. Is she really?
Is she?
Oh, you won.
She is... You won. And between all those things we talked about. And also, she won earlier this week because on my Twitter, I noticed I was following 99 people.
Yeah.
And I was like... Well, who's going to be the person that's going to be the 100th person that I follow? And so I posted, and I picked everybody who had said they wanted to go to Nerd Tackler 2011 via the vehicle that we were talking about earlier. And she was my 100th. She was the person I follow. She was the 100th person I followed now.
Wow.
Since she's in the chat room, I'm going to ask her, what are you going to pick for your prize, Shortcake?
Pressure.
Pressure's on. Do you think she's going to... I wonder if she knows already. She probably doesn't. And then there's more in the chat. There's more stuff in the...
PlayStation moving.
Fallout New
me.
Vegas, baby. All right.
Fallout Vegas.
Shortcake. Yeah. Nice job.
Oh, yeah. Vegas.
I'm just really glad she was in the chat room during all this. That's great.
Awesome.
Anyway, so go check that out. Very cool. Very exciting. Also, don't we have the winners to announce for the Raid pre-screening tickets?
We do.
Yeah,
so
tell us about that.
These are the winners. There's 10 of them that won tickets to the Raid pre-screening that is happening at BlizzCon on October 23rd. And Kevin actually just did an announcement that if you can't even make it to BlizzCon or you didn't win tickets, they're going to be streaming the event.
Oh.
So, yeah. How cool is that?
The premiere itself will stream?
Yes.
Oh,
yes,
dude.
They're going to be streaming the movie for people that cannot make it to BlizzCon or get tickets. So,
what if I'm not 21?
What's that?
What if I'm not 21?
Then you can watch it on the stream.
Okay.
Yeah, so they don't care if you're 21 and at home, right? You can fake that.
If you go to jointheraid.com, there'll be the details on the streaming. But here are our winners, and I'm going to butcher your name, so I'm apologizing in advance. Brian Fan... Oof.
Oh, I was so excited for just a second. I thought I won.
Steve Reese, Stacy Will Newman, Paul in San Diego. Gosh, these names are going to kill me.
We're gonna post a link in the show notes of your name.
Richard, Daniel, and Kareen.
Kareen. And you are all winners. All right. Congratulations.
So I'll be sending you all email. I have your email addresses from since you left it in the comments, and I'll be emailing you shortly. And Stompalina will be contacting you with all the details for the event so you can get your ticket.
Oh, very nice. Coming. And big, huge grats once again to the guys who are responsible for bringing us the Raid. I'm very excited for this. So cool stuff happening at BlizzCon. Stay tuned for more of that. It's now time for Old School.
We're kicking it old school.
You know what? This show's going long.
Sweet.
I just realized we're like going way long, but that's okay. My rating team can wait for me. I think a little few minutes.
Let's just go ahead and quit
now.
Old
school game's awesome.
Yes, it is. By Nicole's request, we are talking about Seventh Guest. The Seventh Guest, produced by Trilobite and released by Virgin Games in 1993. It is a full motion video based puzzle video game. It was one of the first computer video games to be released only on CD-ROM. This came after Myst. In fact, many people thought this was the next step in the sort of Myst way of playing games. The Seventh Guest is a horror story told from the unfolding perspective of the player as an amnesiac. The game received a great amount of press attention for making live-action video clips a core part of its gameplay, for its unprecedentedly large amount of pre-rendered 3D graphics, and for its adult content. Boobies, right, Brian? Boobies?
Boobies.
Yeah. Actually, there weren't any boobies, I don't think.
And it was also known for its boring, boring content.
Yeah, but at the time, right, Nicole? At the time, it was
awesome.
I loved it.
And I have such fun. I mean, this is the kind of game that I have nostalgia with. And then I actually go back and I'm like, well, maybe it was a little bit more boring than I remember.
Yeah, these things sometimes just don't hold up. But they are making versions for the iPhone and iPad, by the way. That's coming. And the 11th Hour, that'll be bundled. 11th Hour and Seventh Guest. Seventh Guest was the prequel, or not prequel. This 11th Hour was the sequel. They're going to bundle those together, put them out on iPhone and iPad, and supposedly some of that stuff will be improved. I don't know if some of the slow kind of panning and things will be improved or not, because some of that stuff kind of sucks. I would really like to see a game like this updated with real-time graphics. That would be pretty neat.
I'd like for somebody to allow me to hit the escape key so I don't have to listen to 30 minutes worth of narrative.
Yeah, they don't let you skip. Like. They don't let you skip stuff. But I captured a little bit of the music. Remember the old MIDI music days of video games?
Yes. This actually had great MIDI music. And it did a lot of great things. Don't get me wrong. The all that video in there was just cutting edge back then.
Yeah.
And the cut scenes where they would, you know, you would pick a direction to go, and the camera movement was just absolutely just knocked dead gorgeous.
Yeah, it's pretty good. So here's some of that. Here's some of that music.
Thank you.
like I might be watching a transition scene in a porno or something, but
this entire game, by the way, is captured on YouTube. Somebody went through the entire game and made chapters, and you can watch the entire, all the puzzles, all the cutscenes, story, and everything.
So what would be more boring, that or the actual game, I wonder now, these days?
I think playing the game would be, I enjoyed watching the scenes again, each of the cutscenes, when you're seeing the ghost and trying to figure out what happened. And
the game innovated, dude. I mean, there's no question about it. It was something that was fairly groundbreaking at the time. And I remember people just freaking out, and they wanted to make sure their PCs could run it. And everybody was so excited about this game. I worked for a computer manufacturer at the time, and it was all the rage. Like, all these new CD-ROM drives are playing this incredible game. And if you had the best S3 card or whatever the hell it was back then, you could play it. And it was pretty cool.
It was a spooky game, too. I mean, for a game, it had a lot of, like, themes.
It was
of
psychedelic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just a spooky game.
You can get it on.
It was spooky. It almost felt occultish or.
Well, yeah. Because, you know, there was some occult going on, and the dolls and the creepy kids. And it was just weird. It was so weird. I loved it.
Creepy kids.
Smack talk.
Oh, that's too quiet. Creepy, creepy kids.
Smack talk.
All right. Screwed that up. All right. Very nice. Go check it out. Good Old Games has that game. So if you want to play it, there's one way to get it. But those guys are jerks, right? All right. Time for this. Oh, whoop. I mean, time for this.
Force feedback!
Force feedback!
Force feedback today comes in the form of emails and call-ins. They all come to podcast@finalscoreshow.com. That's the email to use. Send them now. Send them often. We got somebody talking about Halo and 9/11.
Hey, Scott, Brian, and Nicole. I was just listening to your last episode where you were talking about how the new Medal of Honor game is being banned at Army bases because of the hyper-realism with the Taliban and whatnot. One of you made a joke about there being a 9/11 type simulator and how that would be too soon and no one would make that. Oddly enough, I was on Halo Forge the same morning I was listening to you, and there's a 9/11 simulator-esque forge map that someone had made, and you go in there and there's a tower built up next to another tower with a Pentagon right in front of it, and there's two of the Talon or the Falcon helicopters crashed right into the buildings. I thought you might find that interesting and kind of want to hear your opinions on it. Thanks for the show. Have a great day.
Okay. Well, yeah, but see, this is where it's different. Companies aren't going to do that. like somebody making a retail product for sale is not going to do that. Some Dingledorf in his basement using Forge might, but that's different. That's a user-created
still
piece of content.
Shocking nonetheless.
Well, yeah, but you know what? I played a Little Big Planet level that somebody made that was a 9/11 level. So they had these fake buildings, and they had the little cart that they made would come shooting off the ramp and run into the building, and it was all like had 9/11 language everywhere and stuff. It's totally tasteless for sure, but no company's gonna do that. No
more training software for the freaking Taliban.
Well, that's what some would argue, but I mean, the thing with, I guess my problem is it's a clear separation. If you're making a game where the entire mission is a simulation of the 9/11 events, I think that's tasteless and very insensitive. However, I think a game company should be allowed to do it. Well, sure. But I think it's like if you'd have made a game 6 years after the events of Pearl Harbor, people would have been really mad at you.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing.
There's the game, the Columbine shooting. There's a game for that.
Yes, there is.
Yeah.
You made that game.
I'm not sure that one will always be tasteless.
they're all tasteless. And I think, you know, when you talk about gaming, they kind of get all lumped in. And when we had the discussion about, you know, Postal 2, and there's so many levels to just horrible games, and then there's great games.
Yeah, it's not clear cut. It's not black and white.
Live in a country that free speech, and that's what they're doing.
And I believe with all my guts that if you want to make a game that depicts some terrible, tasteless thing like you know, 9/11. Then you should be allowed to, and I should be allowed not to buy your game because I don't like it. Yep. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And complain about it.
And complain. I can say whatever I want about it. If it sucks, I'm going to tell you so. If I think it's a terrible idea, I'm going to say so, and I'm going to vote with my money and not buy it. And you should have the right to either make it or not make it. I don't understand why this is even a question or an issue with a lot of different lawmakers and people. I don't understand. This is the system. You have the freedom to make crap, and if the system is not going to like your crap, then you're not going to succeed, and you better move on to making something that isn't crappy. Mm-hmm. It's simple to me. Anyway, whatever. Politics. I mean, not politics.
Smack talk.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Smack talk. All right, moving on to... That's it for calls.
Kevin H?
I have one other call, but it's not really relevant now.
Oh.
So I'm going to play that one. Kevin H, what? Oh, yeah, the emails. We'll do that.
Yeah.
Kevin H says, just curious if any of you had tried out Minecraft. I've been hearing a ton about the game. Have you guys?
Me too. And people have been bugging me to get it. And I want to get it, but I... Like I said, I just... don't have any more time.
It's understandable, Brian. We know
how to feel. Screw that.
I haven't tried it yet. Gabe at Penny Arcade is raving about it. A whole bunch of other people are saying this is the thing to do and try, and I just haven't tried it. I guess it's basically build anything you want. I mean, you're literally mining for stuff and crafting things out of it. So, welcome to Minecraft.
Like the professions in Warcraft?
Kind of, but more literal.
I don't want to do that.
No, it's more literal. Like, Nicole, you could say, I want to build... a giant donkey, and you could do it. So it's not like
I challenge one of us to play this game before next week.
Brian. I vote Brian.
Why don't you pick me?
I vote Brian because I'll be too busy aligning myself with Seoul so we can go take on England together. So whatever you want to do, it's fine.
Fine.
We'll check it out. Next email we got was, I'm going to shorten this one because it's way too long, but I got a message from Nate who says, hey, my name is Nate. I'm 17, and I've played video games ever since I could hold that N64 controller.
We're done.
I'm writing in to give you the perspective of a demographic actually affected by what the bill and law seeks to change, talking about these restricting games to minors or whatever. It says, first off, if Scott happens to be reading this, I completely agree with his parents. I'm sorry. I completely agree with... If you agree with my parents, and this would be a very different discussion. I completely agree with his opinion that parents should ultimately be in control of what goes on with that fragile young mind of their offspring. It is the job of the parent to educate themselves on things like that so that your child could be exposed at the right age to such things and learn about drugs and sex and alcohol and so on. Anyway, it goes on to say, to sum it up, I feel that having our adult overlords decide our fate is unfair. There is no alternative, I understand, but people have to realize that nobody in this argument is going to be affected. So the best thing to do is allow all things to be possible through the parent of the child. This way it holds them accountable, and the restrictions vary from child to child based on them personally. Things do not need to change. Adding more restrictions will affect things negatively for everyone. Interesting thoughts. I like the idea that a 17-year-old is, sharing his
absolutely.
Yeah. Seems like a smart kid too. So good luck in all your gaming efforts. And he's
got one more year.
Very articulate for a 17-year-old.
I agree. I hate that you had to cut the email a little bit short, but yeah, it was kind of long. Love it. Maybe we can post it somewhere.
Yeah.
But yeah, once again, on the laws of that, I guess it just, I don't know.
Did you guys hear that just now?
Yeah, let's not open that. No, I didn't hear. What was it?
My iPhone and that game center thing. I put my name out on Twitter.
Oh, that thing scares the crap out of me constantly.
It rings every 5 seconds, man. Drives me crazy. But Fruit Ninja's awesome. Multiplayer. Play it. Do it. Game Center's good for that. Okay, moving on. Jamie B. writes, I know I risk strafing away from the video games here somewhat, but I realized this might be an issue potentially. If companies start making the reselling of all software, then this could include drivers. Oh, I see what he's saying. So if companies, I don't know what he means. Anyway, he wrote that bad, so it's hard for me to tell exactly what he means. I just reinstalled my printer drivers and needed to click a thing, and it said it was copyrighted bit of software. This would mean if they use the new possible law, that I would be legally allowed to resell my printer, but not the drivers to actually use it. Just an interesting observation, Jamie B.
Huh.
So it is a weird can of worms you open with this whole who owns the software you have. And then therefore, if I own this iPhone, like I'm about to sell my 3GS on eBay, do I own it, but the software on it, Apple could like go after me because this sells with some firmware. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like I don't own that
firmware.
Once
again, I think this goes back to I don't think they're going to be attacking individuals anytime soon. This is, you know, people who are wholesaling stuff.
Yeah. Well, and I will say this, you know, we had a great conversation going on in the comments on the last episode, and Andrew Lewis commented that he thought we got a bit of the story wrong because in the court ruling, the original issue was that they got a discount because they upgraded the software and they were supposed to destroy the software, but they didn't destroy it, and so the other guy sold it. And so I think what we were trying to talk about was if a ruling like this passes, the door that it opens. So I think that's kind of where we were coming from. So
there you go. Thank you so much, Jamie B, for your emails. And all of you guys, if you want to send your attachments or your emails, you can do that. Again, that address to send it to is podcast@finalscoreshow.com. I was looking at the wrong notes. Send that right away. We love them. We love your feedback. Love to read it on the show. Want to thank some folks on iTunes who left us some 5-star reviews, specifically Michael P. and Mostly's. Name's great. Thank you for leaving us 5-star review. Don't forget the website, finalscoreshow.com. Twitter us, Extra Life, Mission Deep, and Nicole Spag. You can also save a little money on domains at godaddy.com. Brian does that. Nerdbus.org or info. What is it? Info?
Whatever it was. Nerdbus.info.
The codes to use are Frog1, Frog2, and Frog3. Again, special thanks to MapHook and our friends at Typefrag. That's going to do it for us. Any final thoughts, Nicole, before we leave?
No.
You never. One of these days, a reminder.
The show's going long.
it's going long, isn't it? Brian, anything you want to say? What do you got?
Yeah, I just want to talk about a few things that's been on my mind. Nerdbus!
Nerdbus! Smack Doc. Smack Bus. Anyway. Merd. Bus.
Bus.
Bus Talk. Or no, Bus Smack. Whatever. Anyway, sounds like a band. I played bass for Bus Smack for years. Bus Talk. All right. Well, that's going to do it for us. Thank you guys so much for being here. Episode in the can. We'll have another one next week. Can't wait to bring it to you then. Until then, enjoy the last remnants of summer as we head into fall and get ready to play a lot of awesome video games for me, for Brian, and for Nicole. We'll see you next week.
Nope.
A little more.
Some time in our life, we all have pain. We all have sorrows.
But
if we are wise,
we
know that there's
hairy thighs.
Always tomorrow.
Lean on me. Oh my God.
When I'm not strong. Can you hear what I'm playing?
Yeah.
You can?
Yeah, barely, but we cut it off too. Oh. Like this one.
That's the one.
But that's the old one. There's the new one. Yeah. And then there's... Oh, it's not even close.